We finish up several weeks dealings with what it means to be messed up people, messed up families, messed up marriages, messed up church. We close out those discussions, those studies from God's Word today. We're going to deal with something that messes all of us up, and that is our attitude and ideas about money. But before we get into the passage of the day, just want to give you a brief glimpse about the next few weeks. We've mentioned this several times. Hopefully, we're getting the word out that next Sunday, November 1, you have the opportunity to set your clock. You set it somewhere. An hour for no, backward. Yeah, so you'll be here early for church if you don't do something to your clock. But more important than that, we're going to look for 4 weeks at what we call peace of mind. We're going to deal with mental anguish, mental illness, mental health. Next Sunday in our morning services, Joe Padilla, who is executive director of a ministry called the Grace Alliance, will be with us in our morning services, and then we'll conduct a workshop at 6:30 down in the Fellowship Center a week from tonight. We're inviting anyone who has an interest in the fact that maybe you have suffered or are suffering from some type of anxiety issue or depression or something that will be determined a mental health issue, or if someone in your family you're dealing with in those issues, or if you feel that you want to learn more so that you can plug in and help people. So it's going to be an opportunity at 6:30 Sunday evening week to go down there to hear some important information and then to make some choices about how our church wants to move forward. But we're going to be looking toward those issues for 4 weeks preceding Thanksgiving. So just wanted you to know about that, and also pick up a daily Bible reading guide that specifically addresses these issues. The readings begin tomorrow, so you need to pick up a set today. They're in the info centers. Just go grab one. And of course, if you're on the email distribution list, you don't have to do anything. That reading will come to you each and every morning. So for the topic of the day, it's all about being messed up. And it's all about this idea of finances, of bills. I don't know what you do with bills when you get them. Basically, I just do this. Someone's going to pay them. But you know, you look at the adding machine, you look at all the things you get, you look at everything you spend your money on, you look at everything that happens, and it just overtakes you. It just drives you crazy. Because if we could get a handle on spending and upon finances and upon money, we wouldn't be near as messed up as we are. And it pertains also to life within God's family, the church. I have in my pocket an envelope that I put in the plate every Sunday morning during this service. Some of you may notice that I actually physically bring my giving envelope and put it in the plate. I do that because I want to remind myself of the importance of what it means to give, and I want to set an example. But next Sunday, in addition to everything we're doing, first Sunday in November, we always ask our folks to bring an extra offering. We call it a harvest day. We try to help our church get in position for the last 2 months of the year and even kicking into the new year. And so I went ahead and got the gift that I want to give. I've challenged myself, Marcy and I have challenged ourselves to give above and beyond. And I've got $360 right here, all in tens. I just wanted to feel it like that, you know. Because I never see the money that I have. It's always electronic, and it just doesn't. But this, it smells like money. And it just feels like money. And this represents, I do this every Sunday. I give that amount represents the giving of the Hatfield family to the ministry of our church. And I want to give this amount again. I want to double. This is weekly. This is what I do. You may do it differently. And I'm not trying to tell you I'm better than you or you should do what I do. But I did want you to know that I'm accountable. And every minister on our staff agrees that tithing, that giving is important. And we all practice that because we want to be good examples. But this is tough because it brings me back to the issue at hand, and that is, you know, this is this is real money. And it's mine. Isn't it? It brings up a question. Now, I'm going to keep this money close at hand. There it is. It just feels good slipping into my pocket. It brings up a question. Why should I give? Why should you give? Now, I'm talking about the fact that if your desk, if your mind, if your financial life looks like that most of the time, it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be confusing. It doesn't have to be all out of sorts. And I think it's directly related to an understanding of what giving is based upon and why you give. And I'm talking about giving to the life and the ministry of the church where you serve. Why give it? Well, it's a command of God. It's an act of obedience is what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, and just the whole passage, especially those four verses, but I just picked up the first two. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, I directed the churches of Galatia, and so do you also, that on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper." Now, he goes on to explain that the reason for that setting aside ahead of time an amount based upon what you feel led to give, what God has blessed you with, that you do that and you do it on a consistent basis. And a lot of people use this passage, and rightly so, that giving should be something that you think about daily, that you set aside and you practice in a consistent manner. And I think that's helped many of us. It's helped me to understand why I should give and why there's a note of consistency, an urgency of consistency in my giving. Now, the reason Paul said this is he was taking up an offering. He was collecting money to meet a specific need. And he asked the churches, he asked the people that he knew the Lord, who had been blessed to be a part of that. So the answer to why give, it is an act of obedience. It's something that God has commanded us to do. And Paul says if you approach it systematically, it'll be so much easier to do the right thing. But then the next question is, how much should a person give? I've mentioned a tithe. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you will find the Old Testament standard is 10%. That's where we get the word tithe. That's what it means. You can trace it all the way back to Abraham when he was giving thanks for God's provision in his life, and he gave of a tithe. He gave a tithe of what he had to a priest named Melchizedek, and it begins there. And the idea of the tithe permeates the Old Testament. But you say, but we don't live in the day of the Old Testament. The New Testament should supersede the Old Testament, okay? Well, if you go to the New Testament, what you're going to find is that Jesus understood that giving began with a tithe and then went up from there. Now, granted, tithing is not systematically discussed, the amount in the New Testament, but it is assumed by most that Jesus' attitude was in accordance and agreement with the beginning point and then to move up from there. That's why this amount that I have in my hand, now here's my envelope, but here's this, it's mine, belongs to me. Okay, belongs to Marcy and me, but really it belongs to me. So. See, it kind of grabs hold of you. It makes your hands grasp it tightly. If you're not careful, it can become something to where everything in life you look at as it belongs to you, and your hands begin to clamp down upon not just an amount of money I hold here in my hand, but it begins to clamp down on everything you think about regarding possessions and generosity. But that's what the scripture says. Well, some of you would say, and rightly so, but you don't understand, Stephen. My life's not like yours. Times are tough. There's been some some issues that have happened in my life, some circumstances that have turned my life upside down, and there's some things that were beyond my control. And it's not that I made poor decisions or I'm just always a stingy Scrooge. It's just that times are tough. And you're right, they are. The background of 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah was dealing with tough times. Basically, it hadn't rained for months, and the land was under a severe drought. And it came down to an opportunity for the people to respond during tough times. And we pick up in that narrative in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, verse 32. This is on top of a mountain. It says, "So with the stones, Elijah built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. He arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces, laid it on the wood, and he said, 'Fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood.' And he said, 'Do it a second time.' They did it a second time. He said, 'Do it a third time.' They did it a third time. Then the water flowed around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, you are God, that you have turned their heart back again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" Now think about it. We say times are tough. We might say, can't afford to give. This money is committed to some bills. It's committed to some obligations that I have. I've got these payments, and times are tough. There was a time when it had not rained for months. And there was a time when God's messenger, along with the people, stood on top of a mountain, and he commanded them to build an altar. And you read it with me. And he dug a trench. And they're praying for fire from heaven, but they drench it with water, not once, not twice, 3 times. And then make sure that the trench around this altar is filled with water. Water, the most precious commodity known. They've been without it. What sense did it make to take the one item, the one commodity that could spare life, that could prolong life? How wasteful, how ridiculous. How disobedient, you might say. How reckless to take the very commodity that people have been starving for, dying for, of thirst, and praying for God to send the rain, and then to use it on a stunt like a sacrifice. But do you see the point? Till the people were willing to take what was most precious to them and give it, and spend it, and release it from their hands. We didn't finish the narrative because our time is short. But as soon as God showed the fire from heaven and licked up the water and totally consumed that offering, then guess what fell out of the sky? Yes, rain. Times are tough, no doubt. But it's during those times that God's people respond with obedience. Think of it in this way. Faithful givers don't look at the times around them. But faithful givers look to God. Think about that. Faithful givers, they don't look at the times. Now, other people do. People who can't understand and cannot grasp how God operates and how he fulfills these needs. There will always be those people that are looking back and looking at the times and the decisions that they make, the decisions that we make. I include myself in this group because many times I show a lack of faith. We are always looking at the times and trying to judge when we should do something, when we should not do something. But clearly, those people who are faithful givers, they recognize times, yes, They're not reckless, irresponsible people. But they look first and foremost, and they look finally to God. You see, you can make a mess out of things. And you can go through those bills. You can just try your best to figure it out. You can try your best to micromanage your spending and the spending of others. And there's nothing wrong with budgets. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes down to it, if all you do is look at the surrounding circumstances, then I promise you this, you're always going to be in tough times. Always. I want you to meet Parker Monroe. Miss Parker, you're in the room. This is Parker Monroe, and this, she's accompanied by her mother unit and her father unit. Her father's name, y'all know Monroe, Parker's dad's name? What's his name? Brooks. This is Brooks. And her mother, Lauren. And this is Miss Parker. And Parker, Miss Parker, tell us how old you are.
5.
She's 5 years old. Now, the reason I asked Parker to come up here and join me is I wanted you to know something that happened to her just a few months ago, something that made me it made me smile. I hear that you had a special project. What was that project at home?
A lemonade stand.
Okay, did you ask your mom and dad if you could do this?
Yes.
Yes. Did they tell you that you could have a lemonade stand?
Yes.
Yes. What did they tell you you could do with the money?
Spend it, save it, or give it away.
Spend it, save it, or give it away. I would guess that you spent it, correct?
Yes.
No, wait. Now, I would suggest that you bought something for yourself, like a big toy. Is that what you did?
No.
No. And you didn't save it. You're doing great. You okay? All right. Don't be afraid. You're doing great. I kind of messed you up there. I went off script for a minute. But your mom and dad told you that you could either spend it on something for yourself or save it for a rainy day or give it to someone or something. How much did you get in that lemonade stand?
76.
76 cents or 76?
Dollars.
Dollars, okay. She got $76, and this was, if I understood it right, how long was this lemonade stand open?
2 hours.
2 hours. She made $76 in 2 hours. And then, here's the best part of what you did. Your mom and dad said you could either spend it or save it or give it away. And what were we doing at church? Do you remember what you came to church for that week? Was it Vacation Bible School? Did you come to Bible School that week?
Yes.
You came to Bible School, and we were taking up an offering for, I think we even mentioned it this morning, Operation, what is it called? Operation Christmas Child. And you, let me think, you gave a portion of it to Operation Christmas Child. You gave $5 of it to Operation Christmas Child. Is that right?
Yes.
No, well, I know you gave $5, but is that all you gave? How much did you give to the offering? Out of $76, how much did you give? You remember?
76.
She gave. You mean to tell me that you gave all of it to the offering? To give to somebody else. All $76 you gave. And it was your idea to give it to the offering so that other boys and girls could have a good Christmas and could learn about Jesus. I think that's amazing. And I want to thank you. Are you glad you gave that $76 to the offering?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for coming and visiting with us today. Are you okay? We're going to do it again at 11. Is that okay? All right. You're not mad at me, are you? No, you're not mad at me because I'm your friend. Let's give her a hand. Okay, now, come on now. Come on. What do you expect a story like that to be like? Mom and Daddy, I want to eliminate them because I want a new bike or I want a new Barbie. And then Mom and Dad are trying to teach a child a lesson. Well, sure, you can have a lemonade stand. Here, you can either do this, this, or this, and leaving it up to her. And yet, she chooses not to tithe on it. I mean, that would have been amazing. She didn't split it between what she wanted or what she would like to have had and a worthy cause, like an offering at Vacation Bible School. But she gave it all. I can't reason in a child's mind, nor can you. But I have an idea that when you have a life where your hands are open, your heart's open, you're not concerned with all the mess that others have made of what it means to give. But you simply respond with an open heart. You know, the scripture says, unless we understand and receive the kingdom of God like a child, we'll never get it. And out of the mouths of the youngest, sometimes we see the most penetrating and powerful stories. You see, faithful givers understand and know that everything belongs to God. And when He asks us, and I know we grow up and we have responsibilities, I get that. Mom and Dad have to take care of basic priorities. I understand that. But I also understand that many of us have lost the true heart of giving because we do this. Because you see, this is mine. There is a verse that's found in the New Testament. It's a promise verse. It's a great verse. It's a verse that many of you know by heart. But I call it a promise for givers only. And I'm not trying to be mean here, just trying to interpret God's word with integrity. Because Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." I've prayed that. I've claimed it. There, you know, that's Philippians is my all-time favorite book. It's the one that it's short enough. You can read through it in a brief period of time, and it just makes sense. It's very personal. And right here at the end, this is right toward the end of the letter, Paul gives this abundant promise. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. A couple things you need to understand about that verse. Notice he didn't say, my God will supply all your wants. There's lots of things we want. There's lots of things that if we had a blank check, we could fill in and say, this is what I want. But Paul said, the promise here is God will supply your needs. And there's a big difference there. Lord's Prayer, give us this day our... Did you say annual bread? Monthly bread? No. Give us this day our daily bread. You go back and you look at how God supplied. The most amazing instance of this is when those children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and they had manna given every day. And when they tried to hoard it, when they tried to stockpile it, when they tried to take the surplus and save it for a rainy day, what happened to it? Rotted. God meant for them to know the provision, His provision that was going to come daily. Their needs were met daily. But there's something else about this verse. It's not just for anyone. You see, you go back and you read all of Philippians in its context, and Paul, this is actually a thank you note. Philippians, the whole letter of Philippians is a thank you note. It's a thank you note from Paul to this group of people, this church congregation in Philippi. Because they what? Because they sent one of their own. He had a real long name, Epaphroditus. They sent Epaphroditus with gifts, with money, with an offering to take care of Paul's needs while he was in prison. Epaphroditus made that journey that probably took 6 to 8 weeks, and he fell ill because of that journey, and he almost lost his life. Paul nursed him back to health. He was under house arrest. He sends Epaphroditus back home with this letter we call Philippians, a thank you note. And the reason Paul is giving this promise to this congregation is because they understood what it meant to give. So when you pray this prayer, if you were to pray this verse, you need to understand. Not that God is stingy. Not that he's trying to say some people are in and some people are out. Not that he says, I'm going to punish you. He's just simply saying, if you want to experience the blessing that I have for you, then you need to understand first and foremost what it means to give. So, what does that mean for us? Next Sunday, we have lots going on. Starting a new series on mental health. I'm looking forward to it. But in the midst, in the undercurrent of it all, I want to challenge you about an offering. An opportunity for your church to get its balances back in order. To help us look toward the end of a year to finish strong. And I'm going to ask you to, because a lot of you here today give, I'm going to ask you to consider giving an extra above and beyond gift. Like I said, I already told you what mine was. If I decide to give it. But I want to ask you that if you consistently and you contribute toward the ministries and the life of this church and you enjoy them and are blessed by them and you're beginning to understand and get it, then I'm asking you to stretch a little bit and give above and beyond. Give for me, it's on a weekly basis when I'm charted all out. It's that amount that represents what I should be giving and am giving every week, and I'm just going to give an extra week. Should I give an extra month? I'll work toward that. God will help me increase my faith, hopefully, because I believe in what we do here in the life of a church. So I'm asking you to begin thinking about that. We're not going to make a big deal of it next Sunday. We've got other things we're going to be dealing with. But beginning next Sunday, I hope that you'll begin obeying. And maybe it'll take you a week or two to understand what that means to get it together and to give it. But for those who give nothing, and there are many in our church who give zero, I don't understand that. I mean, it's beyond me, but a lot of our people give zip. They give nothing. I want to ask you to give something. Give something. Show that you're beginning to get it. Show that you're beginning to practice what this idea of true stewardship is. And if you give nothing, and I understand many people come from a background like that because they've never been taught about giving. You've never even heard it. It was the dumbest thing you could ever think of to do when you were growing up, and your family just had nothing to do with it. But I'm asking you, based on, it's a command of obedience, based on a child can understand and give it all. I'm asking you to give something. If you're in that category that do give something, but it's maybe not what you feel it ought to be, then I'll ask you to work toward a goal. Maybe this next Sunday, just give that tithe and then begin working toward, building toward it, increasing it. May not happen overnight. For many people, they can't go from zero to this amount just like that. But you can begin understanding and planning for it. And get out of this idea of everything being a mess. And that's where it begins with most of us. Family issues, marital issues, always seem to be tied to this issue right here. That's all I'm asking you. I'm asking you to be consistent. That once you get a plan of giving, and if it's a certain amount or if it's this percentage, whatever it might be, just do what Paul said to do. First day of every week, first day of every month, every pay, whatever it is, whatever works for you, just build it into your life and make it consistent. And then I want to make you a promise. I've done this one other time before in my 23 years here. I want to do it again. I want to give you a money back guarantee. I'm serious. If you will commit to giving, if you'll commit to tithing, whatever that amount is to be consistent, whatever amount it is, if you will commit to doing that and you give it 6 months, you have to give it 6 months and I'll check your record. But if, I'm just kidding, if you do it for 6 months and you come to me and say, this didn't work for me, God didn't bless me. Now, I'm not saying bless you with more money, okay? I'm saying bless you with spiritual dividends and spiritual blessings. If you don't see the advantage of it, if you don't see the how the consistency has blessed you in other ways, if you don't understand and it's not helped you to be more open-handed with possessions, then I will do this. I will give you your money back. I'm not obligating the church to this. I'm not going to take it out of my budget line item, which is about this big. I'm not going to take it out of any account of the church. I will take it out of my own personal account, and I will pay you back. I'm serious. That's how much I think this issue is critical. That's how much I believe in it. And I promise you that if you will catch hold of this level of obedience, this mess over here will straighten itself out quickly. And the issues you face, perhaps with your spouse, can smooth out in an unbelievable way. And the arguments you may have about what to do here or what to do there, and the mess that we've created of things will lessen, and it will become more of a beautiful thing in our lives. That's what I promise you. No. I want to be like Parker Monroe. I want it to be so natural for me to be open-handed with the things God has given to me. I pray we'll be, and I know we'll be a different church if more of us would do that as well. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here, to look into your word, to have some detailed discussions about awkward things. And Father, I appreciate very much the opportunity to live today. And I appreciate the opportunity to give back to you a portion of what you have blessed our family with. And I pray others will see that, will understand it, and commit to it. It's in Christ's name we offer our prayer. Amen. We conclude our service this morning with an opportunity to obey. It's called an invitation. It could well be that there are people here in this room today and you've never really understood the nature of what saving faith is. I know we talked about money issues today, but those are spiritual issues. But the basic spiritual issue the Bible says we all have is one of sin. Separation from God, and that Christ, through his death upon the cross, provided a way for you and for me to find peace with God, to be in right relationship with him. That's a choice you make. It's a line you step across. It's a change of perspective, a change of everything. And if that's a decision you're contemplating, you want to make, you feel like you need to make, I'm offering this invitation for you. There'll be ministers and deacons here to help guide you, to pray for you and with you. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a place to call your own, a church where you can belong. We offer our church, First Baptist here in Louisville, for you. You join a church like ours by coming forward, uniting with us. We invite you to become a part and join us in lockstep as we fulfill the mission that God has for us. Maybe you're here today and it's just a point of obedience somewhere along the way. Maybe you have the same issue I do regarding how nice this feels and how stingy I can become if I'm not careful. Maybe you need to be more open-handed, and maybe that involves giving of tithes and offerings. Maybe it involves giving of time. It's all important. And the important thing is that you recognize it and that you obey and take steps of obedience that God will honor. That's our invitation. We stand together. We wait for you here in the front. Won't you step out as God leads?